Welcome to the Dissertation Dive. This is a special podcast series where we dive into dissertations of scholars who completed their doctoral degrees in the past several years. As you know, the dissertation is the culminating experience of a doctoral journey and includes independent scholarship that is significant to our field. So I thought it would be a great idea to dive into some outstanding dissertations. In this episode, I'm joined by Dr. Stacy Imogbi, the author of the dissertation titled Culturally Relevant Physical Education for Optimizing Physical Activity Opportunities. Dr. Imogbi, thank you for joining me on the Dissertation Dive.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Dr. Hemphill. I'm absolutely thrilled and excited to be a part of this podcast. I'm looking forward to this opportunity to engage in meaningful conversations, share a few of my insights, and connect with your audience. So I genuinely look forward to it. So again, I'm excited to talk about all things cultural relevance, physical activity. And so, yeah, again, thank you for having me.
You are very welcome. I share that excitement to learn more, a little bit more about you and your dissertation work. But before we dive into the dissertation, I wanted to ask you, what are you up to now in terms of your career?
Okay, so a lot has been going on, and I just want to backtrack a little bit. I wouldn't have been able to complete my dissertation if it wasn't for my chair, Dr. Senlin Chen. And then I'm also going to shout out my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I could not have done that without him as well, just to get to this point. But again, with my chair, Dr. Senlin Chen, I do want to quickly express my heartfelt appreciation for his patience and his mentoring and his encouragement that he provided to me throughout my doctoral studies. The level of guidance was instrumental for me, and the mental toughness that I was able to generate throughout this process really helped me to become the person I am today. So my advisor is Chinese, so I don't know if he's ever going to listen to this in the future, but I do want to let him know, Xie Xie Chen Lo Xi, that is thank you, Professor Chen, in Chinese. So again, I thank him for getting me to this point. Now, what am I up to now? So I am currently a tenure track assistant professor at Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. And so this is my first semester teaching right out of my doctoral program. And I am in the Department of Health Kinesiology and Sports Studies and Physical Education. And so far, as we're approaching the final weeks in our semester, I am having the opportunity to teach a few coaching classes along with tester measurements. And so I have a fair teaching load, and I'm thankful for that. And also during this time, I'm serving on committees. I am working on publishing my dissertation. So I have a few manuscripts in the pipeline right now. And so just excited about that. But not only that, I am impacting lives, my students' lives in particular, and already exposing them to different opportunities and avenues to engage in physical activity, health promotion, and wellness as well.
Well, I'm glad to hear you had, good mentoring and a good experience with your doctoral advisor. I think given the gratitude you shared, we'll have to bring this episode to his attention when it's released. Will you tell us a little bit about your background and how did you end up pursuing a doctoral degree in this field?
Okay, great question. Thank you for asking. So just with my background, a little bit about myself, I like to describe myself as a health and fitness enthusiast and pedagogist. And over the years, I've had the opportunity to teach an array of courses as an adjunct instructor and as a graduate teaching assistant. And also throughout that time, been able to contribute to several research projects where the need to collaborate closely with others was the norm. And so with those experiences that I had in my master's program, it started igniting a spark to pursue a terminal degree, but that spark wasn't full flame just yet. And so in addition to all of that, I also have a D1 collegiate athletic background in track and field. And throughout my time as a graduate student, I've been able to provide a different perspective that was also valuable in the field of kinesiology, physical education, and health. And so interestingly enough, that's what led to the pursuit of my doctoral degree in physical education. It was my track and field coach slash department head, Dr. Dave Bellar. And so he was an assistant professor who then became an associate professor at the University of Louisiana Lafayette. And he really pushed me beyond the track to finish my race, ironically, in higher education. And so he is currently at the University of Florida, Usha Kundu Medical College, that's in Pensacola, Florida. And so he motivated me all the way to just pursue higher education, to get that terminal degree and to finish my race strong. Although I couldn't physically finish it in track and field due to a sports injury, he really pushed me towards my gear, to my goal academically. And so I'm appreciative of that. And so, again, with that opportunity, it sparked a drive to continue to do research and to teach at the university level and to take that leadership role in physical education. And so because of that, because of those experiences, because of Dr. Bellar being my coach and professor, it really pushed me towards pursuing this doctoral degree. And most importantly, with this pursuit, it allowed me to push the boundaries of what we already knew, what we existed. And I think that's where that competitor in me comes out as an athlete, to explore different things that haven't been explored, or to investigate different areas that haven't been investigated, and to help impact lives in the process as a teacher, as a professor. And so, with that being said, the pursuit just stemmed from my athletic background, the motivation from great mentors in place, and just the motivation to like change the next generation. And so, yeah.
So how did you find the doctoral program that met your needs and your interests?
Great question. So, we need to talk about where I got my doctoral degree from. I had the privilege of pursuing my doctoral degree in pedagogy and psychological sciences at Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And this experience overall was incredibly enriching, both academically and personally. I learned the importance of perseverance and patience. And as the journey through a doctoral program can be challenging, it really helped me to become the professor that I am today. And so how was it a perfect match? Well, for starters, right, in hindsight, some of the trivial things was location. It being the university being located in the South was great. It was still relatively close to home, which was back in Texas. And so not only that, it was the interdisciplinary opportunities that were there in the department and specifically what my advisor was doing. I had to research what his line of research was and then see where there were similarities and also where I can provide value and help. And so with that, I was able to reach out to my prospective advisor at the time and then see where we aligned and then went from there. And so because of the opportunities to explore other fields, integrate the psychological aspect of it into physical education was something that attracted me because I really wanted a holistic understanding of the factors that influence physical activity and health and physical education.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. I know it's unique for everyone, so it's good to hear, you know, how you ended up at your particular institution. So you get to LSU and the doctoral program, and I know you would have taken some classes and had some experiences, and eventually that had to lead up to you thinking about a dissertation and your research. What were a couple of the influential things that led to your selection of a research focus?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question. So I would have to say it was one independent study in particular that I did with my advisor. And so I had to conduct a literature review and synthesize the existing scholarship on physical activity opportunities, in addition to how increasingly culturally diverse students are becoming in K-12 schools. And so that said, with that literature review process and recognizing the racial marginalizations that exist between Black students, Hispanics, and other races, I started to question, okay, well, we know there are existing disparities. We know this has been ongoing, but what exactly is being done to bridge these gaps, to eradicate these disparities altogether? I know it's a bold statement, but I was interested in what was being done. And from there, long story short, I started by, I found or came across Gloria Ladson Billings' work on culturally relevant pedagogy, Jacqueline Irving, and just the trying to bridge the gap between teachers and students. And I saw that it held much promise to address racial inequality in schools and enable all students to engage and learn, which is ultimately what I wanted to evoke. And so with disparities taking place as it relates to gender and race, I looked into that. I started looking into culture and what culture really was, right? It goes beyond the scope of just race and gender. It's the ways of people's lives and how it's created in particular groups and societies. And so after doing that, then I started reviewing Sarah Flory's work, Nathan McCautry's work. There's the Tara Blackshears. There's the Brian Culp's. And I looked into culturally relevant physical education, and that's where the spark, which was lit back in my master's program, and then that's what got me to LSU, but that's what ignited the fire within to pursue cultural relevance, to pursue equity, to pursue justice within the context of physical education.
Yeah, so that's an important topic in the field. We need a lot more work in that space, so I'm glad you took an interest in it. We'll dive into your dissertation more to see kind of where you went with that. Can you talk a little bit about the research question and what you ultimately hope to do with your dissertation study?
Okay, yeah. So again, I was focused within the context of physical education, and I looked at middle schools in particular because that's what I found in the literature. And so I wanted to know, are PE teachers culturally pluralistic? Are they able to teach diverse bodies of students? What type of training have they received? Are they engaged in current professional development to improve culturally pluralistic attitudes? And so that's what I wanted to know. Are the teachers in the particular state that I'm in culturally pluralistic? And so that was one of the leading questions. But then I also wanted to know, are there trainings to help teachers become more culturally pluralistic, culturally relevant, culturally competent, all of the big C's, right? And so I wanted to see what was already done. And from the literature, I realized there weren't too many workshop training opportunities for in-service teachers, for pre-service teachers to become culturally competent, culturally pluralistic. And so that was like the driving force with my dissertation of the questions, I should say. And from then, there was an existing tool that I was able to modify thanks to the consent of the originator of the tool. And then what I did, I took the time to create a culturally relevant physical education workshop. And so I created this four-step module on helping students and helping in-service teachers to become culturally competent. And so that is basically the premise of my research and the purpose for it.
Wow. That's really fascinating. I'll say I read your abstract closely, but didn't get into the document in preparation for this. So I'm very excited for the rest of this conversation to learn more about your research that I didn't get through my initial reading. You use the term, you talked about cultural pluralism. What do you mean by that?
Before I go into what cultural pluralism is, I have to tell you a little bit about culturally relevant pedagogy, which is a pedagogical practice that affirms students' culturally diverse identities by accommodating them to mainstream culture, while also developing critical perspectives that challenge school inequities. And so with culturally relevant pedagogy being a pedagogical practice, there are several terminologies that are related to culturally relevant pedagogies, and cultural pluralism is one of them. And so what that is, it refers to one preparedness to implement pluralistic cultural pedagogies. For example, are teachers or are you as an individual prepared to teach diverse bodies of students as it relates to socioeconomic status, gender, race, sexual orientation, and etc. And so if one is culturally pluralistic, then they do value the diversity that exists in their classroom. They are willing to integrate strategies that are that reflect cultural competence within a classroom setting. And so with that said, one who is culturally pluralistic, they then are culturally competent, and they're able to respect the diversity that exists in their classroom. They're able to provide equitable practices that make them in order for everyone to be successful in the classroom. And not only that, that person is also culturally responsive. That being said, they're able to, again, implement successfully different strategies that are culturally relevant. And so, again, I just mentioned a bunch of different terminologies, but they all relate to culturally relevant pedagogy. That's what makes someone in a position to teach all students effectively and not just one single race.
Thank you for that comprehensive response. So you sort of answered this question I was going to ask about, you know, the literature that informed your study. At least you've talked about, you mentioned some of the key names like Letts and Billings and so on. And the reason I was so interested in asking that question in your case is that I know there is certainly some writing on cultural pluralism and diversity and things in physical education. And you mentioned some of those names as well. But it seemed like to me, to do this dissertation, you really had to read beyond our literature base. So I wonder if you agree with that assessment. And if so, maybe just give us a sense of what were the types of things you found most helpful in terms of your literature review for your study?
Okay, yeah, no, you are absolutely right. I had to go back to the origin. I had to define what culturally relevant pedagogy was. I had to look at the definition and the significance of it within the educational system and how it stems all the way back to the 90s and 80s and so forth. And so after doing that, reviewing the significance of culturally relevant pedagogy, I had to look at those practices in relation to school-based physical education and physical activity opportunities. So what did that look like within that context of PE? How was that implemented? What has already been done? And then to then get more specific into, and to then get more specific into frameworks that were then developed in order to promote culturally relevant physical education. And so not only that, I had to look at the culturally relevant pedagogy practices in other school-based settings, what that looks like in physical education, teacher education programs, and so forth. And I mean, some of your work as well, Dr. Hemphill, that I looked into on what that looked like for pre-service PE teachers, right? And so, yeah, the literature review was extensive, but it helped connect the dots. And it became more comprehensive, and it helped me to understand what exactly I was looking for when measuring PE teachers' culturally pluralistic attitude. So, yeah.
Wow. So, okay. So you had a strong foundation in the literature, clearly. So let's think about the methods. What type of method or approach did you propose in your dissertation that helped develop your study?
I was able to conduct a mixed method dissertation. I took on a mixed method approach for my dissertation. Again, that process was quite extensive, right? Just looking back on what I had to do, I'm smiling now, but I was definitely crying then. But long story short, I took on a mixed method approach. Again, this was, I'm happy that I went through that extensive literature review process. And again, I am thankful for my advisor. That is a key role. And I know we're going to talk about how to help others in the future later on in this podcast, but I'm thankful for my advisor and how he helped me with this process. But okay, so with my dissertation, there were two parts. There was a first purpose, and then I had a circuit second purpose. And so with the first purpose, I employed a descriptive cross-sectional mixed method approach. And so with that, I measured PE teachers within a particular Southeastern state, culturally pluralistic attitudes, and their ability to teach diverse bodies of students in their PE classes. And so that was the quantitative portion of my dissertation. And so I conducted that study and I got the results and I analyzed that separately from my second research purpose, which was to test the feasibility of the culturally relevant physical education workshop that I developed. And then not only that, I integrated some physical activity levels from the students. So I wanted to see, after implementing or testing the feasibility of that workshop, were there going to be any differences in not only the PE teachers' attitudes and cultural competence, but I also wanted to see if that translated into their teaching and whether or not it impacted the students' physical activity levels. And so, I looked at physical activity levels of the students before and after the workshop. I measured the cultural competence, or not necessarily measured, but I looked if there was any change in attitude before and after the workshop. And yeah, so that was the mixed methods approach, because I had to conduct interviews after the teachers received my workshop. So, and before. So it was a lot. I feel like I rambled on about how I went about it. But so that's the mixed method approach that was taken collectively.
Well, I'm definitely like, you're taking me back, because my dissertation did like a professional development program, and then of course a study. So it was like doing two things. You got to deliver the professional development, first of all, with fidelity. And so you work really hard to do that. And there's like the research, like that's a part of the research, but it's also, you know, kind of separate from it. So I know it was a rigorous process for you. And when you get to data collection, so my experience with working with doctoral students has been data collection is just always, it's difficult, it's challenging. Sometimes unexpected things happen. And so I wanted to ask you, what was it like when you actually got into data collection? Were there things that you found particularly challenging, or did it really go as smoothly as you hoped it would?
No. So thank you for that question regarding the data collection process. It was quite interesting. No thanks to global pandemic that we experienced the beginning of 2020 and COVID-19 for the listeners who may not know. And so it was an interesting process, because there were still some delays in getting into the school. So I was in the middle school for several months. And so we had to go through that process in getting access into the school. But not only that, once I got my access to the data collection process, it was a matter of making sure everyone's schedule is in alignment. That was a huge challenge. Again, I was a teaching assistant So I had my classes that I was teaching as a GA. Not only that, there were other research projects with my advisor going on. And then I had to make sure that the teachers and the students were readily available. I had to be mindful of school field trips. I had to be mindful of the teachers driving the bus for those school field trips. And so they weren't present at the time that I needed them. And then their holidays, so their university holidays and in the school holidays. So that was the biggest challenge, making sure that everyone's schedule was in alignment. And so, but again, have to be mindful of your advisor. A good advisor makes this process a lot smoother. And what I mean by that, I was advised to create a schedule. So I had a block schedule. I had an Excel spreadsheet of my availability, the teacher's availability. And I also had to make room for makeup days. That is important because when things don't go according to plan, I have to schedule in makeup days. And so because I was able to do that, when I did indeed experience challenges or face challenges, I had a makeup day that I already scheduled in and the teachers were on board. And so I feel like that was the most challenging thing. So it's important to create a schedule, create a block plan, and make sure that you factor in sickness and all of the above. So,
public schools, things happen unexpectedly. They're unpredictable, I was going to say. So I know you wrestled with that all throughout, but you were able to complete the data collection process, and then you get all that information in hand and you have to make meaning out of it. So how did you approach that data analysis process?
Okay, so the first day I just stared at it. I'll tell you that. I stared at all of the data collected, all of the interviews recorded, I just stared at it. And I told myself, I was like, okay, I worked so hard to get in these schools. I collected all of it. Now, what do I do? And so I stared at it for a few minutes, and then I had to start the data cleaning process. And that was a very lengthy process, to say the least. But not only that, it helped me with organization. It helped me with being mindful of like jotting down every single thing, like step by step. I had an analysis plan, and every update or change, removal of data, I was able to know all of that. And so the data analysis process was the hardest part of my dissertation. I can say that. And so again, I had to clean the data. I had to go through data matching. Right. I had to make sure that what was recorded the first time, that everything that was recorded was in alignment with what the teacher said before and after the workshop. But so do you want me to go into detail, like the type of analyses, like ANOVA and all of that, or just?
So really looking for a broad overview, because we could do a whole podcast series on data analysis, right? That goes into a dissertation. So, but it's clear you wrestled with a lot of data. You did some, I think, reliability check type things and some things that promote trustworthiness. You must have found, the right level of agreement, because I know that you did move forward with your dissertation successfully. So given that, What did you find? I know you probably have many interesting results that you can discuss, but could you maybe highlight a couple of things that stand out to you as really impactful from your results?
Yes, definitely. So again, it was a two-part study. And the first part, again, was measuring PE teachers' culturally pluralistic attitudes. Do you value diversity? How comfortable are you with diversity? How willing are you to implement culturally responsive teachings? And so from that, I'll share one significance again because it's embargoed. But what I did see was at the school level. So I had elementary PE teachers, I had high school, I had middle school PE teachers, I had a wide range of teachers who were in their first year of being a PE teacher all the way to teaching for 30 plus years. I had a mixture of male and female and non-binary teachers as well. And so I can report at the school level that secondary PE teachers did value cultural pluralism more than elementary PE teachers. And so what do I mean by that? They reported that they do value the opportunity to teach diverse bodies of students, that they value the ability to teach diverse bodies of students. And so that was interesting to see at the secondary level compared to elementary school level. And so I can leave you with that. And then when it comes to physical activity levels, so this is now the second part of the research. So I implemented a culturally relevant workshop before and after. And when it came to physical activity levels for students, there wasn't much of a difference before and after the workshop that was implemented. And again, that was due to just like some of the limitations were just the time frame in which it was implemented, holidays that took place in between that. And so there wasn't much difference in physical activity levels. And there was one other thing that I definitely left out, which is very important. And I also measured whether or not students were receiving culturally responsive physical education. And so my apologies for leaving that one out. But yeah, I also measured, are they actually receiving culturally responsive PE from their teachers? So again, before and after, I measured whether or not they were receiving it. And then after my workshop, were there any changes that made? Again, I was testing the feasibility, most importantly, of the workshop, but then I just wanted to see if there were any changes. And so there weren't any significant changes in the students receiving culturally responsive PE. However, the teachers, I mean, it was amazing to see the interview results based on the deductive and inductive analysis of the qualitative data that was collected. And so from that, I was able to see that cultural competence was comprehensively exhibited after the workshop. Now, again, that having an impact on students' level and what they received or what they perceived, that's, I have to do an entirely different study to look at that. But the teachers were able to gain sophisticated knowledge of their students' background and then also able to bridge existing gaps between them and the students. And so they were able to positively reflect on the modules of the workshop, and they were express how their cultural competence improved because of that workshop. And so for me, it appeared that their responses were indicators for further reflexive practices and for future professional developments. And so that was interesting to see the just the impact. Again, it was only the feasibility that I was measuring. And so that's helping me with my next research that I'm trying to, or not trying, that I am conducting in the spring here in Georgia. And so it was interesting, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always nice if that dissertation is, you know, really a bridge to a continuation of your research. So I'm going to ask more about that before we wrap up here today. But if you now have the ability to look back at this dissertation study, if you could go back and do it all over again, would you do anything differently?
Absolutely. The time in which I had to implement the workshop. So the implementation took about 4 weeks in the fall semester of 2022. And so I am assuming if I had more time, maybe 8 weeks, that there would be changes. I don't know if they would be significant between the culturally responsive teaching and perhaps physical activity levels. So the length of time in which I had to conduct my study, of course, is something that I would change. But again, a done dissertation is a good dissertation. So wasn't too worried about that. But that's something I would change for sure. And then to have more PE teachers participate in receiving the workshop that was implemented. That would be something I'd change. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that little quote. I've always heard it said the best dissertation is a done dissertation. So I like the way you said it. A done dissertation is a good dissertation. It might not necessarily be the best, right? But it's a good one.
That's it.
So thank you for that. I'm going to use that again. I'll try to remember to credit you for providing me with that wisdom.
Okay.
So where are you at in terms of sharing the findings from your dissertation? Have you had an opportunity to do that yet?
No, I haven't just yet. However, I had one abstract so far accepted. And so I will definitely be presenting the results at the Shape America convention in Cleveland, Ohio, next year. So that's where I'll share the first of many findings. And I'm waiting for another abstract submission so I can present additional findings. So Shape America will be the first study. And then the other conference in which I'm waiting I'm waiting to get accepted for will be the second half. And so it'll be well constructed than how I've been like verbally speaking about it today for the listeners. But yeah, so I haven't shared it just yet, but I will next year. So
yeah, look forward to that. We'll be looking for you at Shape and then on the conference circuit generally for this really interesting research. So you hinted at this a little bit about what you want to do next with your research. So can you talk a little bit about what's next for you? Do you intend to stay connected to this research? And when I ask this question, I'm actually really interested to know if you're continuing the research, but also the workshop that you developed, because that sounds really innovative and interesting.
Absolutely. Now, again, I have to give credit to where it's due. Like the construction of this workshop stemmed from prior research that's been done. Again, I'm standing on the shoulders of the giants. And so, again, it's a little bit of everything that's been done. It's basically CRP, or culturally relevant pedagogy, that has existed within the context of physical education and prior research where those different frameworks were implemented. And so that helped develop the culturally relevant workshop that I have implemented and I will implement in the future. So just for the record, like, it's not all mine, as in it's just innovative work, but it stems from that and has become innovative in that way. So I do plan on conducting a pilot study in the spring semester on cultural pluralistic attitudes of PE teachers. So I'm going to see what that looks like here in the state of Georgia. Are there any differences, again, at the school level, or I can't really compare apples to oranges, but yeah, so I'm just going to conduct that study. And then I still need to build rapport here where I'm at, and then get more teachers to participate in the study where I can implement that culturally relevant workshop again, and you know, get greater responses or increase the number of responses from PE teachers. So,
yeah. So you've finished this successful dissertation, and I know that a lot of the audience that hears this are going to be people who are thinking about graduate school. They maybe are in graduate school thinking about their own dissertation, maybe struggling with their dissertation a little bit. What advice could you give to someone who's out there struggling with their dissertation right now based on what you've achieved?
Okay. Again, I would say be open and transparent with your advisor. That's what they're there for, to help guide you. And again, everyone relationships will definitely differ. However, bring those frustrations to them and they can help you, right? They're the expert, not necessarily in what you're trying to do, but they've already navigated this whole process. And so having open, candid conversations with them helps, but then it's prioritization. You have to prioritize, okay, tasks and responsibilities. Just do one thing at a time. If you're frustrated, write for just 5 minutes, then 10 minutes, and so forth. But prioritizing the importance of deadlines is definitely important. And then the effective time management is another thing. If graduation is the end goal in mind, you're going to do what you have to do to graduate. And so make the time out to explore frustrations, right? See what other graduate students are going through. They have different social media pages, dissertation guideline or funny meme dissertation pages, and see what other students are going through, and then prioritize that time to make some sort of effort. They all go hand in hand. Set boundaries within your department, amongst friends, and again, that ties into prioritization and time management. And then take regular breaks. Take a break. Take a step back. You know, go for a walk, right? After you had that conversation with your advisor, go for a walk. Take the weekend off, revamp, and then get back to work. That's very important. So it's easy to say persevere when you're in the midst, but in hindsight, that's what it took to finish. And to successfully defend, if anything. And so that's very important. Self-care is important. And again, I had to go through a pandemic to get this, to go through my doctoral program and get this dissertation done. And that is no excuse, but there were so many different adversities that were faced. And so I can openly say this, and I don't want any listener to feel bad or to cry me a river, but in the process of my dissertation, I lost my father to COVID. And so that was a huge adversity that I had to face. What do I do? Am I going to finish, or whatever the case may be, processing that? And so in that, prioritize what's important. Okay, my end goal then changed. Okay, he may not be able to see me graduate, but I have to at least graduate. And so find out your why, find out what's important, and then persevere. And I mean, if I can do it, you can do it. But again, it took the community, my advisor, not giving up on me, and being patient and throughout the process, and then me knowing what my why was. You can do it. Like, whoever you are listening, you can do it. But you have to prioritize what's of most importance, and then also prioritize your self-care. And that's what will help you get there, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Do what you have to do and get it done.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. And, you know, sometimes you shared an example of losing someone close to you, and, you know, people go through that. It's a private experience. And sometimes we don't know that other people have went through that same thing as well. And I'm glad you were able to navigate that experience. I lost my mom in May, and it was incredibly difficult. I'm still struggling and working to get back to whatever, you know, normal means. And I can't imagine having that happen in the middle of a dissertation experience. So really appreciate you being candid and sharing that advice. You've really covered my questions well, so I think I'm near the end of my scripted questions, but is there anything else you would want to share about your dissertation or about yourself for listeners that'll engage with this podcast series?
Yeah, I would have to say that it was all worth it. Everything was worth it. The adversities, the wins, the losses, it's all going to be worth it. Whether you're going into academia or the industry, I don't know who's listening to this, but it's all going to be worth it in the end. And so, again, find out what your why is. I can also just be transparent, and I have to always be, but my faith is what got me through. If you don't know what's going to get you through, figure out what it is. If it's exercising, meditating, but for me, in the loss of my father, in the midst of adversities, it was my faith that got me through. And so praying to Jesus got me through it. And again, whatever it is that you find, wholeheartedly go in, and you'll end up on top. You may be bruised a little bit, but you'll end up on top. But also just have a passion for what you're doing. What if you're passionate about your dissertation, then I mean, it's also going to get you to the finish line. Passion, perseverance, and patience. Okay, those are my now three P's, Dr. Hemphill. Passion, perseverance, and patience. Coming to you from Dr. Imakbe. But yes, if you have those things, then you shouldn't have anything to worry about. And so, again, I am thankful to have had this opportunity to be on this podcast and to share a little bit of my journey. I'm appreciative of my community that helped get me through this. And again, I am looking forward to impacting lives here at Morehouse College. So again, thank you, Dr. Hemphill. This is wonderful. Thank you.
You're most welcome. And I'll just speak for the audience. We look forward to seeing where you go with this work and crossing paths with you on the professional circuit. It's been a great conversation. So I'll stop there. But Dr. Imakbe, thank you for letting us dive into your dissertation.
Thank you.